Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kufchav Zayin. We have five lines from the top. Begins the Gemara Tana Rabban, and we learned in a Braisa. Now, Mishnah taught us a Chiddush that on Shabbos one may exert himself, do Tircha. For the sake of mitzvah, he can clear out his storage room to make some space for the Arichim, the guests, or for people who need to come learn. So the tircha is allowed in a situation of mitzvah. Continues the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, a maschilin ba'itza tchila. One may not initiate on Shabbos, meaning he can't begin using this oitzer, clearing out the oitzer, if the storeroom had not been used before Shabbos. It's considered muktzah, it's not prepared, it's not muchan for Shabbos. So you can't move the content of the storeroom. Aval oiseh by shvil, but he can form a pathway there, k'dei sheikanes v'yetzi, to allow him to get in and out if he needs to get through the oitzer. Says the Gemara, oiseh by shvil, he can make a pathway there. He just told me that it's muktzah v'amres, e maschilin, one cannot initiate. He can't begin the use of the storeroom on Shabbos. So how does he make a shvil, a pathway? Hachik amar, this is what the Braisa means to say. Oiseh by shvil baraglov. He can form a pathway using his feet, on his way in and out. He simply moves the items there with his feet. He moves them away. And this way he clears for himself a pathway. Now the Mishnah Berurah, actually based on this Gemara, teaches us that one may move muktzah using his feet. That's considered to be indirect use of muktzah and it's mutter. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Tvua Tzvura, piled up Tvua. Bizman Shehischa b'Erev Shabbos, when he has already begun using it on Erev Shabbos, he started feeding his animals from this pile, then it's considered to be prepared for Shabbos. Mutul is stavkim imeno b'Shabbos. Then he can continue using it on Shabbos and feed his animals. Vim lav. But if he's initiating its use on Shabbos, hadn't yet been used beforehand, asur li stavkim imeno b'Shabbos, one may not make use of the content of this pile on Shabbos. Divrei Rav Shimon, these are the words of Rav Shimon, that something which is unprepared is considered muktzah. Rabacha Matir, he allows use of the Tvo, even though it had not yet been prepared for Shabbos, hadn't yet been used before Shabbos. It's piled up, it's stored away, it's set aside, it wasn't prepared for Shabbos. Says Zigmar, Klapi Laya, in which direction are we going here? Meaning, it was Reb Shimon who generally does not subscribe to this broad application of Muktzah, as we discussed yesterday. It's Reb Yehuda, who holds that something needs to be prepared for Shabbos to allow its use on Shabbos. Whereas Reb Shimon says, Hachana is not necessary, as long as it's not negated from Shabbos use, as long as it's not inherently useless for Shabbos, for instance, a rock, a pebble, or the tevel, something which is asur b'achila. So why over here does Reb Shimon say that one may not use something which was not prepared? Ella, rather, Ema say, Divrei Reb Acha. It's Reb Acha who actually holds that it's asur, because he subscribes to this concept of muktzah, that unless it was inaugurated before Shabbos, it is not considered to be prepared for Shabbos, and one cannot use it on Shabbos. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon indeed allows, because he doesn't hold of this broad application of muktzah, even something which wasn't actually prepared, or something which wasn't initiated, its use wasn't initiated before Shabbos, and it's lacking that preparedness, it's still mutter. Continues the Gemara Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kama Shir Tvua Tzvura. What is the shir? What is the amount of the stack of Tvua, which is regarded as muktzah, something which is put aside for storage, not for personal use? Lesach is a half a kur, Rashi says, 15 sa'ah. So once we have this large pile, we assume that it's something which is set aside, it's stored, it's not there for personal use, it's such a large amount, it's not considered to be prepared for current use. Boimine, Rav Nechumi Bar Zacharia Me'abaye. So you asked Abaye, Shir Tvua Tzvura Bekama. The same concept. What is the Shir? What is considered to be a stack of Tvua, a pile of Tvua, which we are concerned about Muktzah? Amar Lei Hari Amru. Haven't they said? Hari Amru, they said, Shir Tvua Bekama, Belesach. The Shir of a Tvua Tzvura is indeed a Lesach, which is 15. So, as we just mentioned, from the Braisa. Iboilu, says the Gemara, they asked the Shaila. Let's go back to the Mishnah, which told us that one can clear afilu arba v'chomesh kupay shel tevin. The Mishnah told us he can clear even four or five of these baskets of tevin from the room there, from the storeroom, to make room for his orchim, to make room for the people to come learn. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, Hani Arba V'chamish Kupis Dika'amar. Those four or five, that was stated. Now, Rashi explains that we're speaking specifically according to the opinion, the interpretation of Rav Chisda. If you recall, we had yesterday Machlokes between Rav Chisda, who told us that the most he can clear out is five baskets worth. Whereas Shmuel says, it's unlimited. Whatever you need, as much room, as much space as needed, that's how much content you can clear out. So there's no limit, according to Shmuel. So that's the Gemara. Now, according to Rav Chisda, who gave us a limit of five, so you interpret the Mishnah literally, you can clear out four or five, but maximum five. What does he mean? Hani arba v'chamish kubeis dekamar. Those four and five that the Mishnah told us, ba'arba v'chamish kubeis in, is it strictly if he carries it out in this manner, four or five baskets, meaning he can only make maximum of five trips, tfei loy, but more trips he can't do it in smaller shifts, he can't downgrade the size of his load. We learned from Taisus yesterday that a kupa contains three sa'a. So perhaps if you'd like to carry smaller size loads and do it in many shifts, can he do that? Or no? He needs to do it strictly in the most, in five shifts. So again, Hani v'arba v'chamish kubeis deka'amar ba'arba v'chamish kubeis in, can only be done in that manner, only four or five transports, tfeiloi, but more not. Alma, apparently, l'mu'uti bi'ilucha adif. It is preferred to minimize your walking. Don't make it so visible. Don't do too many transports, too many shifts. Take those four or five baskets and transfer them outside. Don't make it so visible. Don't make it into whole operation. So even though he's going to be carrying a smaller size load, he wants to chop down those kupois, take only half at a time, and instead of five, do it in five trips, do it in 10 trips, which involves less exertion on a single time basis, a smaller load. No, we say, lamu'ute bihilucha adif, to minimize your walking, to minimize the visibility, perhaps, is actually superior, and therefore he is limited to five trips. Oidilmo, perhaps, lamu'ute masi adif, if he prefers downscaling the size of those loads and doing more trips, doing it in smaller sizes and more shifts, perhaps that's also beneficial. There's advantage to that as well, and therefore you can do that if you'd like to. So that's the shayla of the Gemara. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, who explains this. Rashi here is 13 lines from the top, beginning with the words bedalad vehe kupas in tfeiloi. So this is one side of the Gemara that we are very specific. He can only carry out four or five, that's it. Only four or five trips. Bekupos, atzman hu yifane. He will carry out the hay, the produce inside those baskets. V'yimalem imyirtze. And I'll fill them up if you'd like to. Oy sak. Bekseifoy, alternatively, you can fill up a sack and sling it over his shoulder. Shiur kupa b'hamechas. And each trip will contain the shear which goes into a kupa, as we said, is three saw. But to travel more than five times, to make more than five shifts, for instance, if you'd like to clear out using smaller containers, thereby increasing his hiluch, doing it in more shifts, that's not allowed. Because being a mite, the walking is actually preferred. Even though it involves increasing the size of the load, because perhaps the reason is because it's less visible. Just do it quickly, four or five shifts, and get it over with. Oy dilma, perhaps, there is an advantage, there is a benefit to decreasing the size of the load. If it prefers clearing out using smaller containers, kishir he kupais, which will total, of course, the total amount, which goes into the standard five baskets, which is the 15 saw, but it'll break it down incrementally, it'll take it out little by bit by bit. Mutar, you can do so. And Rashi concludes, ul Rav Chisda kabayla. This question is strictly related to Rav Chisda, the Amar, hey dafka. Because Rav Chisda is the one who stated for us that the shear of four or five is exact, is specific. He's limited to a maximum of five. So the question here is, does he need to do it in five trips specifically, or can he do it in many more trips and downgrade the size of the load? Continues the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Toshma, come and listen to the following raya. The Tani Chada, We have one braisa which says, Mefanan afilu arba v'chomesh kuvos. One can clear even four or five basketfuls of shel kadi shemen, shel kadi yain, these containers of wine. Shemen oil, kadi yain is of wine. So you can fill four or five containers of these boxes, kadi shemen, kadi yain. V'tani yidach, we have another braisa which seems to contradict this. It gives us a different shir. Be'eser, u'b'chomesh esrei. And the Gemara at this point figures we're speaking about 10 or 15 kupais, these baskets. So there's a contradiction. Is it 5 or is it 10, 15? My love, Bokim Mifligi, says the Gemara, that apparently, so Rashi explains that the Gemara at this point, I apologize, Rashi explains that the Gemara at this point figures that 10 or 15 here is referring to small size baskets. So the first price, which tells us 4 or 5, is speaking about the large size baskets. Whereas the second braisa, which gives us a number of 10-15, is referred to small size baskets. And indeed, this is the point of contention between two braisas. Does one need to insist on doing it in 5 trips? Or does he have the prerogative to do it in more shifts, downgrade the size of his load, and do it in 10 or 15 transports? My love, do we not say Bahaka Miflagi? This is the point of the machlekes. The Mar Savar Mi'uta Bi'ilucha Adif. That the first braisa, which insists on the number 4 or 5, you must fit all those kadi yain, kadi shemen, into the 4 or 5, is speaking about minimizing his walk, minimizing the visibility, the ruckus, the activity is preferred, and therefore we limit him to 4 or 5 trips. Umar Savar, the other braisa, which gives us a number of 10 or 15, holds savar miyutu b'masadif. We're speaking about small size baskets, in which he places those containers of wine and oil, and therefore he's doing it in 10 or 15 shifts because they're smaller size baskets. So the total number of total amount of content that he's going to clear, of course, equals the same. It's all of 15 sa, but he's going to do it incrementally, bit by bit. He's going to do it in 10 or 15 shifts using smaller baskets. So apparently, this is the machlokes. Our question hinges on these two braises. Doesn't want to lie, no. The kuliyama all agree, mi'uta b'lucha adif. It is preferred to minimize your walking. Do it in 4 or 5 trips, and that's it. Umi savris, be'eser b'chomesh esrei, akubis koi. Do you really hold that the second braise, which describes him carrying 10 or 15, is referring to 10 or 15 baskets? Akupes koi? No, akadin koi. The braisa is referring to those containers, those jugs of oil and wine. And the braisa is telling you that he's going to go ahead and carry 10 or 15 containers, 10 or 15 kadin in those 4 or 5 baskets, large baskets. We're speaking about small size kadin. Says Maloy Kashi, it's not difficult. There's no stira, there's no contradiction between the braisa, which gives us the number 4 or 5, which is speaking about the kadin, 4 or 5 kadin, which have 4 or 5 baskets, which only have large containers within them. Meaning, we're speaking about a kad of wine or oil, which is large. In which only one of these kadin will fit into a large basket. So the braisa, which says 4 or 5, is speaking about transporting merely one kad per basket. When the braisa speaks about 4 or 5 baskets, he's speaking about transporting large containers of oil and wine, in which only one will fit into a kupa. Hadam ishtakli chad chad bekupa. Only one is transported per basket. V'ha, in contrast to the other braisa, which discusses 10 or 15, the braisa is speaking about small size containers. V'ha dem ishtakli trei trei. The braisa, which says 10, is speaking about transporting two smaller size, medium size containers in each basket. So you have 5 baskets, which will equal 10 containers. 2 per basket. Baha. The number 15, how do we get to that? The Mishtakli, Tlasa Tlasa. We're speaking of very small size kadin, very small size containers, in which three are carried at a time, three will fit into one basket. What are those types of kadin? But the kure, the harpanya, the small size kadim of harpanya. So, according to the Gemara now, the conclusion is that one cannot do more than five shifts. Mu'uti bihilucha adif. It is better, it's preferred to minimize your walking, to minimize visibility, to minimize activity when it comes to carrying stuff on Shabbos. So at most he can do is five shifts. The Brisa, which says four or five, is good. We're speaking about he's transporting these large size kad of oil or wine in which only one will fit in per basket. So he's going, he's carrying four or five of these large baskets with one kad in each. When the Brisa tells us 10 or 15, it's speaking about different sizes. 10 is referring to the medium-sized container in which two will fit in per basket. So five trips, five of those baskets, will equal 10 medium containers. Whereas the number 15 is referring to very small-sized containers in which three of them will fit into each basket. So five large baskets will total 15 containers. Continues Gemara another question. Iboilu, so they asked the question again. This is directed at Rav Chisda, who gave us a shear of a maximum of five of these kupois, five of these baskets can be cleared out. Hanich arba v'chamish dekamer, those four or five that were said, afagav disli orchen, tuva, even if he has a great number of guests and he really needs to clear a greater area, no, we limit him at a maximum of five. Oidilma, or perhaps akolifi orchen. It's all dependent on his need, on how many guests arrive. Now if you'll say that, even according to Rav Chisda, this number 4 or 5 is a standard allowance for one person. But if more people arrive, then you can add more. You can clear even more according to need. So if that's the case, if you'll say, all depends on the need. Now the question is, can one person do the entire job? Or do we say, no, that's going too far, that's excessive exertion. And each person needs to clear for himself. Chad gaver mafne l'kul. One person can clear for everybody. Oy dilma, perhaps gaver gavra mefane l'nafshe. Each person needs to clear for himself. So indeed, we allow the total to grow. You don't need to stop at five. You can clear as much as you need. But one person can only clear at a maximum of five. Says the Gemara Tashma. Come and listen to the following right. The Omar Rabba. Omar Rabchia. Pamachas halach Rebbe l'makim echad. There was a time that Rebbe went to this place. V'roa mokim dochal g'tamidim. And he noticed that the place inside, indoors, was kind of tight. There wasn't enough room for the Talmidim to sit there. V'yotzal asada. And he went out to the field. U'matzal asada malaya oimrim. And he discovered a field full of bundles. V'imeir Rebbe. Rebbe pushed away, cleared all the Imrim, all the bundles from the entire field to make room for all the Talmidim. Now, the Mefarshim speak out, he didn't actually pile up those bundles. That would be considered a Melach of Ma'amar. So he cleared them out in a way which he didn't pile them up. He didn't gather them together, I mean. And Rashi points out that it was a Carmelis, it was an unfenced area, which is a Rishus Rabbanon. So how did he carry out those bundles? He did it in increments of less than four Amos, which is only an Issa Drabbanon, as the Mefarshim speak out. There's a double Drabbanon here, because number one, it's a Rishus Karmelis. Number two, he's carrying less than four Amos, so it's called a Shvus de Shvus, a double Drabbanon, which is Mutter, in a situation of a mitzvah. So he clear out the entire field. For Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Pamachas Holach Rabbi Chia, he relates a different story, where once Rabbi Chia went, L'makam Echad, V'ro Makam Dochal Talmidim, and he found that the place indoors was too crowded for the Talmidim, v'yotzal asada, so he went out to the field, umatz asada mleya oimrim, and he encountered a field full of bundles, v'imir apchia kol asada kula, and he cleared out the entire field. Says the Gemara, Shema Amino, we hear from here, hakol fiyo urchin, that indeed, one can go out and clear as much as is needed for the guests. We're not limited at the amount of four or five kupais, which equal 15 saw. As we see here, they clear out the entire field. So we concluded regarding the first question. Even according to Rav Chisda, there's no limit of 5. That's the standard allowance for one person that shows up. But if many Urcha are there and more is needed, certainly can clear as much as he needs. But we still have that question regarding who is going to do the clearing? Chad Gavra Mefanei Lekula? Can one person clear out the entire area? Idilma called Gavra Gavra Mafim Nafshik? Or perhaps each person needs to do it for himself. It's too much for one person to do. It's too much exertion. That much we don't allow. Toshma V'imei Rebbe. In this story, what does the Gemara tell us? V'imei Rebbe. Rebbe was the one who cleared the bundles. Apparently, he himself did it on behalf of all. According to your way of reasoning, Rebbe with the Nafshei Imer, do you really think that Rebbe himself did the clearing? Rashi says, Rebbe was a Nasi. It wasn't a covenant for the Nasi to do that. You can't say that he himself personally did it. Ella rather, Tziva Imer. So he instructed that it be done, that it be cleared. Ul'oilam certainly called Chad v'chad mefani Nafshei. Certainly what happened really was that each person did it on his own. He did it for his own need. But it wasn't Rebbe who cleared it for all. So, in summary, we learned about the halacha of clearing out mefanin mepnei ha'orchim on account of guests, on account of a mitzvah. We discussed initiating, beginning the clearing process from a oitza which was never used before Shabbos. According to Rav Acha, you can't do that, it's muktzah. According to Rav Shimon, it's mutter. We learned that even a stack of tfu, which is not in a storeroom, can be muktzah if it's a large size stack which has 15 sa. That's not considered to be prepared for personal use. It's considered to be prepared for storage and as mukso according to Rav Acha. Now we have two questions in the Gemara, specifically directed at Rav Chisda, who gave us a maximum of 5 kupois. So the Gemara told us, well, can he do it in many trips, or does he strictly need to do it in 5 trips? Says the Gemara, no, we are limited. Lemu'utei bihiluch adif. He cannot add, he cannot increase his activity. He needs to do it in 5 shifts at the most. He cannot go ahead and break down the size of his load and do many transports. The Gemara asked, well, according to Rav Chisda, if there are many guests present and he needs more than 4-5 kupois cleared, can he do so? Says the Gemara, yes, we have a raya from those stories of Rebbe and Rav Chia that there's a need to clear more. Certainly, he's allowed to koil lefi ha'orchim. What about one person doing the whole job? The Gemara did not conclude. Now Rashi points out that this whole discussion of Gemara only pertains to the Shita of Rav Chisda, who told us generally one can only carry out 4 or 5 baskets. There's a tircha involved. The Chum provided a special exemption when it comes to a mitzvah, but they gave us specific guidelines, 4 or 5 baskets. And therefore the Gemara concludes that he can only do it in 4 or 5 trips because the limitation doesn't only pertain to the total content amount, but also to the manner in which he's carrying them out. He can only do it in 4 or 5 trips and no more. Likewise, the Gemara is uncertain whether, when there is a need for carrying out a large amount for all the guests, can it be done by one person or perhaps not? Because it's excessive tircha. It does not fit the guidelines. It doesn't conform with the guidelines of that exemption provided by the Chacham. As opposed to the Shita of Shmuel, who says, it's unlimited. There's no limitation. Whatever you need for your guests, you may do. You may clear it as much as you need. So certainly, there are no specifications. You could do as many trips as you need. One person could do the entire job because it's not a specific guideline they need to conform to. Whatever you're doing is for the sake of your guests, for the sake of mitzvah. So the allowance here is because you're doing it for the sake of mitzvah. We don't view it simply as a transporting items from one place to the next. You're clearing out for the mitzvah, for the tzedakah, for the shimush of your guests, for the people come to learn. So certainly there are no guidelines here, no restrictions. And do it in any manner in which you see fit. Continues the Gemara. V'pnei ha'orchin, the Mishnah says he can clear out for the sake of guests, for the sake of learning. Om Rabbi Yechanan, g'doy l'achnosas orchin. Hachnosas orchim is great. Kikashkomas beis hamidush. It is equated to getting up to learn. Why? Diktani, because the Mishnah says v'pnei orchin u'v'pnei bitul beis hamidush. The Mishnah seems to equate orchin and learning Torah. So we see that hachnosas orchim is as great as Talmud Torah. Rav Dibim Rado Amar actually yoiser me'hashkomas beis hamidush. We find that now Mishnah hachnosas orchim is even greater than learning. Diktani, because the Mishnah precedes one over the other. V'pnei ha'orchin, and then v'hadar v'pnei bitul beis hamidush. So in the sequence of the Mishnah, we see that the Mishnah placed hachnasas orchim prior to beis hamidush. So we see it's a greater mitzvah. So apparently it means to say that if you have one area which you can provide either for guests or for learning, Hachnasas Archim takes precedence. Continues the Gemara, Omar Bidomarab, Gedoyl Hachnasas Archim. Hachnasas Archim is greater, Me'akbolas Me'shchina. From receiving the Shechina, the Chsiv, as it says by Avram Avinu, Vayoymer, Avram turned to Hashem and said, Hashem, Im no masas yichayim be'necha. If I find favor in your eyes, Al no tavam araglecha. Don't leave, please. Meaning, I have to go attend to my guests, those malachim that came. So we see that Chosis Erchem is greater than Kabbalah of Pnei Shechina. Omar Abulazar, Boivrei, come take a look. Shaloi ki midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar adam. The conduct, the mid of Hashem is unlike the midah, the characteristic of a basar adam, a human being. How do we find that? Midah is basar adam. When it comes to human behavior, ein katan yachalay melagadol. A katan cannot possibly turn to a greater person and tell him, "Hamtin, wait around, that shayav eslach until I return to you." It's not respectful. Vilu b'kadosh baruch hu ksiv. However, when it comes to Hashem, it says, "Vayoyimer Avram told Hashem, Hashem, im na matzasichem beinecha, please wait around until I tend to my guests and we'll return." Amar Aviyuda bar Shila, Amar Vasi, Amar Yechna. Shishadvar, there are six mitzvahs, which are very special. That Adam Oichel Perisein B'Mazeh, one derives Peris, he derives incidental benefit, like picking fruits from a tree. He gets reward, somewhat of a reward in this world. V'akeren Kayemes L'Olam Haba. And nevertheless, the Karen, the principle, will still remain intact. L'Olam Haba, he will not lose, it will not diminish from his schar. So he gets double reward. Ve'elu hein, and these are the six things. Hachnasas orchin, ubikur choylim, visiting sick, v'yun tefillah, concentrating during davening, v'ashkomais v'esam midrash, going to learn, v'megadol bono v'talmud Torah, one who raises his children for Torah. V'adonas chaveru l'kafschus, one who judges his friend favorably. So these are six mitzvahs, which a person earns reward even in this world, but it doesn't deduct from his eternal schar l'olam haba. Says Gemara, Eini, is that the case? We have learned in the Mishnah, in Maseches Peah, Eilu Dvarim. These four things, Sha'adam Oysa Oysam, which a person does, Vo'eichel Perisei Bo'il Mazeh, he reaps their fruit in this world, Va'keren Kayem Eslo Yom Habo, and the principle remains intact, the principle of Schar remains intact, Yom Habo. What are these four things? Ve'elohin, Kibda Ve'eim, Ugmilas Chasod, Va'ava Shalom, Shibar Al Chaveroi, bringing peace between one and his friend. With Talmud Torah connected, Kulm Talmud Torah is equated with all the mitzvahs. Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. So we see from here, Hani in, strictly these four have this advantage of double pay. Midi Achvin Eloi, but other things not. Sakhar Rabbi Yechon tell us. Hachim Yechon give us a list of six things. Says the Gemara, Hani Nami. These as well, meaning those six are Rabbi Yochanan mentioned, Bahani Shaychi, are very much related to these mentioned in the Mishnah. Explains Rashi. Rashi up on top of the Amud, Hani Nami, Bahani Shaychi. Says Rashi, Achnosas Urchim Ubikul Choylim, Hainig Milas Chasodim. So let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan's list. He mentioned Achnosas Urchim Ubikul Choylim. Says Rashi, that's included in Gmilas Chasodim, which is mentioned in the Mishnah. V'ion Tfilop, that's the third item mentioned in Rabbi Yochanan's list. That's also chesed. Haynu b'chlal gemilas chasadim. Why? Dechsev goyim al nafshi ish chesed. It's referring to davening. So a person actually grants chesed to himself. He purifies his nefesh, his heart. He asks for his needs. He asks for other people's needs. So he's engaged in an act of chesed when he davens. So that's also included in chesed. So far there's no contradiction. Because those three are included in Gemilas Chasadim, which is mentioned in the Mishnah and Peah. Now, Hashkamais Beis Hamidrash V'Gidol Panim L'Talmud Torah. So those additional things mentioned in Rabbi Yechon's list, number 4 and 5, those things, Haino Talmud Torah, that is Talmud Torah mentioned in the Mishnah and Peah. Finally, the sixth item on the list of Rabbi Yechon is Donis Chaveru Kavschus, judging his friend favorably, B'chal Hava Shalom. That's included in Hava Shalom, bringing about peace, which is mentioned in the Mishnah. Why is that connected to peace? The Metoyek Shom Achri L'Schus, due to the fact that he tilts him to Schus, meaning he judges him favorably. Amar L'Chateli B'Zois, he didn't really do any ill to me. Anosaya, he did it against his will, like L'Tavin Yiskavin, he had good intentions. So, he judges him favorably. As a result of that, Yesh Shalom B'Neim, that brings about peace between them. So that's considered to bringing peace. Rabbi Yechon lefarsh lecha asa. So Rabbi Yechon is merely coming to explain and elaborate the bechlal gibud the masnisin. Isno halach vav. That within those three mentioned in the Mishnah, which is chesed, which is Torah, and sholem, are also included these that he mentions. And certainly there's an additional one mentioned in the Mishnah, which is kibud aveim, which Rabbi Yechon doesn't discuss. Rabbi Yechon lepolagle, certainly Rabbi Yechon is not disagreeing with that. Rabbi Yechon is simply coming to teach us that there are additional elements and facets to chesed, to Torah, and to sholem. Now, interesting that these specific things bring about, result in double pay, even in schar in this world, which is a chiddush, because generally schar is something eternal, unlimited, which can't really be encapsulated in this world, a very limited world. So how is that a person will reap somewhat of a reward even in this world? So I heard from Tadros Miller from Gateshead, who explained based on the Rambam, that what's unique about these mitzvahs is that we're speaking about chesed, we're speaking about Torah. So the mitzvahs, which are bein adam lechaver, chesed, and kibud aveim, these things are between one and his fellow friend, his fellow man. These mitzvahs are unique in the sense that aside from their eternal spiritual entity, like any other mitzvah, like shaking lulav, they have an additional element. Because you're providing for another person's physical needs, material needs. It's a this worldly experience. Therefore, that results in receiving, in addition to your eternal spiritual reward, which is unlimited and eternal, you also get, you reap its fruit. You get somewhat of a limited reward in this world as well because of that aspect. Because this mitzvah carries two elements. It has that spiritual element, but also has that this worldly, that physical material element. You're providing physical needs. It's engaging between a person and his neck and the next. It's a physical engagement. Therefore, he is zoicha to schar even in this world. And certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah, which is all-encompassing, permeates this world and the next world, certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah, he gets eternal reward as well as the fruit in this world. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Hadon Chaver L'Kavschos, one, indeed, judges his friend favorably. What is he zoicha to? Zdonen Oysei L'Schos. From heaven, from Shomayim, they will judge him favorably as well. And what's the pshat in this? We apply the term of midah keneged midah. A person who conducts himself in a certain manner, he earns a parallel hanhaga from Shomayim. They treat him similarly. And just as he is dan l'kavschus, he will be zoicha, likewise, from heaven. They will view him favorably. Now what does it mean to be dan l'kavschus? So we know there are midas of din, which is black and white. Do as you must do, follow the rules, the letter of the law, black and white, open and shut case. That's midas hadin. Then there's midas chesed, kindness, midas harachma, mercy. So if one chooses to view his friend in that manner, well, like Rashi says, he didn't mean it. He had good intentions. He didn't know. So he's using midas chesed, midas harachma, to judge him favorably. He's putting him in a positive light. Likewise, he will be zoicha that from heaven, they won't apply the midas hadin to him. Open and shut. You did something wrong. Punishment. Black and white. No, they'll take into consideration all different elements, all different factors, all different mitigating factors. The circumstance at hand, the family history, his true intentions at the time of the avera. Did he really want to do it? Was he full of regret? There are all kinds of factors that can be taken into consideration to put him into a positive light. So if a person conducts himself in that manner, likewise, he's zoicher, that from heaven, they view him in that manner as well. Says the Gemara, Ma said there was a story, Ba'adam Echad, a certain person, Sheyored Megala Elyon, he descended from the upper Galilee in Eretz Yisrael of Niskar, and he hired himself out, Etzel Ba'abayis Echad, by a certain homeowner, Bedarim, on the south side of Eretz Yisrael. Some have a Gersa, they say this was actually Akiva ben Yosef, the great Rabbi Akiva. This was when he was still unlearned on the arts. And this was the sacher, this was the fellow who was the employee who hired himself out to work by this balabais. So he worked for how long? Shalosh shanim, for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippur came around, he decided to leave. Amalai, so he turned to the employer, he told him, Tein li schari, please, my wages please. Ve'elech ve'ozenes ishti bonai. Let me have my wages so I can go provide for my wife and children. Amar loy. So the employer told him, sorry, ein li mois, I have no money. He didn't expect him to show up every Yom Kippur. So he said, I have no money available. Amar loy, so he told him, ten li peres, at least give me some produce. Amar loy, ein li, I don't have. Ten li karka, give me some land. Ein li, I don't have. Ten li behema, give me animals. Ein li, I don't have. Ten li karmuk sausage, give me some mattresses, some pillows, which he saw sitting in the house. Ein li, I don't have. Hivshul keil v'achoyrav. So the employee was heartbroken. He took his kalim, his tools, slung it behind over his shoulders. V'alach l'beisoy, departed. He went home. V'pachin nefesh, sad, depressed, empty-handed. L'acha regal. After Yom Tov, notav al bayis schar b'yaday. So the homeowner, the employee, the boss, took this fellow's wages in his hand. V'imoy, and with him was masui gimel chamayim, three donkey loads of filled with good things, echad shel ma'achal, one filled with food, echad shel mishta, one with drink, echad shel minim megadim, one filled with delicacies. V'alach l'beisai, traveled up to his fellow's home. Achash shel achal b'shosu, after they finished their meal, they ate and they drank. Nosai schari, he gave him his wages. Amar lo, now the boss was curious. He said to him, when we had that conversation, what was going through your mind? V'shosu shel martali, ten li schari. When you turned to me and you told me, please give me my wages. V'amarati, and I said, ain't li mois, I have no money available. What did you suspect me with? What was going through your mind? What were you thinking? Amarti, so the fellow told him, you know, I said, I figured, Shema parkimati bezoil, perhaps some cheap parkimati merchandise. This damalach became available to you. Some lucrative business deal suddenly perked up. And you purchased the merchandise with that money. So you had no money available. Now, when you told me, this is the boss speaking, when you told me, Tainli Behema, give me some animals, Vamati, and I responded, Ainli Behema, I have no animals available. What were you thinking then? So he said, Amarti, I was thinking, Shem Maskaris, Biadachem, perhaps it's been rented out to others and it's not available. So the boss continued, when you told me, Tainli Karka, give me some land, and I responded to you, Ainli Karka, I have no Karka available. What did you suspect me with then? What were you thinking then? Amarti, so the fellow said, well, I was thinking, Shema Mukheris Biadachem, perhaps it's been leased out to others and it's unavailable to you. Shema Mukheris Biadachem, Ubishosh Amarti Lach. And the boss again saying, when I told you, any pears, I have no produce, what were you thinking then? So the fellow responded, Amarti, I figured, Shema Einan Musaris, perhaps the Maisa was not yet separated, therefore, want me not eat it, and you didn't want to give it to me. And Farshim say that he was an Amaretz. He didn't want to trust Amaretz, lest he go ahead and eat the produce. And there was no time available to take care of it. It was Erev Yom Kippur. So that's what I figured. When the boss is continuing, when I told you, Ain li karmik sasais, I have no mattresses, I have no pillows, amecha shetani, what were you thinking then? Amarti, I said, Shema higdish kol nechasa l'shamayim, perhaps he gave away all his possessions to Shemayim, to heaven, and therefore none of them belongs to him. Omar Alei, so the boss responded, I want you to know, you're 100% right. Ha avoida, this is Lashon HaVeshvua, the avoida, the service of Hashem. So he swore, Ka Chaya. That's exactly what was. What happened was, Hidarti Kol Nechasai, I made another vow that no one can have Anah, could benefit from all my possessions. Vishvil Hukunus Bini, due to the fact that my son Hyrcanus, Shelo Osek B'Torah, wasn't learning Torah, and therefore I didn't want him to benefit from my possessions, and I made a vow that nobody can have Anah. So indeed, what you said is true. The last point that you said was true, that everything was off limits. I made a nether, I gave it all away, and therefore it was unavailable to be used. And the end of the story was, Ukshabasi, it's a Chaver B'Dorim, when I approached my friends in the south, Hitiruli Kol Nedarai, they released me from all my Nedarim, and now I have access to my possessions, and here's your wages. Va'ata, and this is the boss speaking. He says, you, Kishem Shedat Antandi Luschus, just as you have judged me favorably, likewise, Shabizoicha, Mide Keneged Mide HaMokim, Yod Luschus, Hashem should judge you favorably. Tana Rabbanan, we learned another story in Ebraisa, Maaseh B'Chassid Echad, there was a story with a specific Chassid. Rashi says, whenever we say Chassid Echad, it's either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So what happened? So this chassid, Shepada Riba Achas Bas Yisrael. So he went and he redeemed Riva, Rashi says Riva is a Nara, a young girl, a Jewish girl. He redeemed her from the Goyim and he brought her back. Ulamalim. When they stayed overnight, it was time to go to sleep. What did he do? He shkiva tachas magaloisa. So he was with his altamidim, and he laid her to rest, to sleep, near his feet. Lemachar, and the following day, yorad. So the chassid went down with tovel, and he immersed in the mikvah, v'shan al talmidav, and he taught Torah to his talmidim. Now he approached them, and he asked them as follows. V'amalem, he told them, v'shan sheshkapti atachas magaloisai. When I placed her near my feet, v'ameh chashadetuni. What did you suspect me with? Do you think that I was going to do something wrong with her? So they responded, no. Amarnu, they said, we figured, Shema Yesh Banu, Talmud Shein Ebadak L'Rebbe. Perhaps amongst us, there's a Talmud whose character has not yet been verified and established to Rebbe, and therefore you're not comfortable leaving her amongst us. Therefore, you place her in a secure location. So that's how we justified your actions. He continued asking them, what about when I went to the mikvah? B'shoa she'eradti v'tabalti, b'meh chashadetuni. What did you suspect me with then? What were you thinking then? Did you think perhaps that I did something wrong overnight with that girl which required tefila? So he said, no, Amarnu, we said, Shema p'nei terech haderech, perhaps as a result of the exertion of the trip, Ira keri l'Rebbe, perhaps Rebbe became tummy at an emission, and therefore I need to go to the mikvah. Amar lehem, so he responded to them, ha'avoida, again, it's Lashon of Shvua, kachaya, exactly as you describe, that's exactly what took place. Va'atem and you, k'shem shedan tuni l'kavzchus, just as you have judged me favorably, ha'mokoim, Hashem, yodin eschem l'kavzchus, should do likewise to you. Tonar Rabban, we have a third story. Pamachas, there was a time, hutzruch davar echot, the Talmid Chacham had a need to have an important discussion, Eitzel Matronusa Achas, by this specific noble woman, who had good connections. Shekol G'doyle Roimim Mitzuyin Esla, who all the prominent of the Romans, who he found by her, they interacted with her, and she had good connections with the upper echelons of the Romans, of the government, of the authorities. So the Talmid Chacham, they needed to discuss something important with her, perhaps to get her to help them. So they need to approach this Roman noblewoman. Amru, they said, Mi Yelech, who's going to go approach her? Amru, Rabbi Shua, Ani Yelech, I'll go. He volunteered. Holach, Rabbi Shua, v'talmidav. So Rabbi Shua went with his talmidim. Kiva sheigel Pesach Besa. When he arrived at the entranceway of her home, Cholatz tfilav, he removed his tfilin, Beruchek arba amis, at a distance of 4 amis, from the entranceway, v'nichnas, and he entered, v'naladas with Neyam, and he closed the door before them. After he emerged, Yorat, he went down with Tovel, and he was Tovel with Shana Talmidav, and he taught Torah to his Talmidav. V'amar Lamei, to ask them, B'shah Shechalasi Tefillin, when I removed my Tefillin, what were you thinking? V'amer Chashad Etuni, were you thinking perhaps that I was going to do something wrong? Amar, they said, no, we figured, because Sava Rebbe figures, Rebbe holds, something which is holy, Tefillin, should not enter a place of Tumah, therefore you removed it prior to entry. So he continued asking, "Meshoshana alti." When I closed that door, what were you thinking then? Amarnu, we figured, "Shema dvar malchus." Perhaps a word of connected to the authority, to the malchus. Yesh b'nei b'na is going to be discussed between him and her, which requires privacy and discretion. That's why he closed the door. So he continued asking, "Meshoshi aranti b'tavalti b'mechashadutuni." When I went down to be tovel, what were you thinking then? Did you think perhaps I did something wrong, which required tefillah? He said, no, Amarnu. We said, Shema, perhaps, Nitiza Tzinoira Mipia. Tzinoira is a little bit of spit shot out from the mouth of this guy, of this Gentile woman, Alb Godov Shal Rebbe, on the clothing of Rebbe, and required tefillah. As Rashi brings that the Chachamim consider the Goyim as Tmeim, and therefore you need to be Toivel. Amalem, so he responded, Ha'avoida, I swear, Kachay, indeed, the way you say, that's exactly what was. Va'atem and you, k'shem shedan tuni l'schus, just as you would dan l'kavschus, ha'mokam yodin eschem l'kavschus, Hashem as well should always judge you favorably. Continues the Gemara, the Mishnah told us, one may clear out, for the sake of urchin, for the sake of learning, can clear out truma tohira. So we're discussing things which are not moksa. Says the Gemara, Mefana Truma Torah. Pshita, of course, it's obvious. Why would you think otherwise? Truma Torah is not mukta. It's perfectly edible. says Mo Yitzricha. The Mishnah only needs to say this halacha. It is only needed in the case of the mancha biyad Yisrael, that this truma is in the possession of Yisrael, who can't personally eat it. It's asr. Mal d'tema, perhaps we shall say, kivin d'lo yichazile, since it's not suitable for him, asr. It's considered to be muktzah and he cannot move it. Kamashma. No, the Mishnah teaches us, kivin d'chazile koyen shafer domi, since it's suitable for the koyen, therefore even the Yisrael can go ahead and move it. There's nothing inherently wrong with this food. It's perfectly edible. There's an Isser for the Yisrael. He's prevented from eating it on account of Isser. So the actual object is perfectly fine, and therefore, it's not mukt. Continues the Mishnah Udzumai. This is produce brought from Yama Aretz, in which there's an uncertainty as to its status, whether or not Yama Aretz has separated the Trumas and Maisers properly. Now, ordinary person may not eat Dumai until he addresses the Truma Maser concern. So how can he move the Dumai? Dumai halei chazile. He cannot eat it. It should be mukta. Says the Markivan the boy. Since if he wishes, mafker le nechse, he simply is mafker's possessions. He renders his possessions ownerless. Vaba ani, thereby turning into a pauper. Vachazile. When he's an ani, this Dumai is suitable for him. We're going to learn soon that an ani may eat Dumai. So since theoretically it's suitable for him, he has that potential. Hashtanami chazile. Now as well, we regard this as being suitable for him, because it has that potential. The snan, as we learned, ma'achilin esaniyim d'may, we feed poor people d'may, v'esachsanyo d'may, achsanyo, those Jewish troops, which are making their rounds and need to be supported by the members of the community. We may feed them d'may, Rashi explains, because since they're making their rounds, and they're dependent on Amir Oretz as well, for their sustenance. Therefore, the Chachamim granted them a leniency, the aniyim, the achsanyo, they may eat from Alma Oretz without concern. V'amar Avchuna, Tana, we learned in the Brayse, B'shama, Yomim, Eim Achilan, Es Aniyim D'mai, one may not feed Aniyim D'mai, Ves Achsani D'mai, Ves Hillo, I mean, yes, we could, Machilan Saniyim D'mai, we can feed Aniyim D'mai, Ves Achsani D'mai. So indeed, our Mishnah follows Ves Hillo, since it can be fed to an Ani, and he theoretically can become an Ani, so there's nothing inherently wrong with this object. It's still potentially suitable for him, and therefore it's not mukt. Continues the Mishnah, Ma'aser Rishon Shel Tshuma Masai. So this can be moved on Shabbos. Pshita, it's obvious. If it's perfectly edible, it's mutter. Why can't it be moved on Shabbos? Says Zimor Leitzricha, apparently we're speaking about a case, Shigdimoy B'Shibolim. Let's make a small introduction here. So we have the pile of produce piled up, smoothed out, considered to be dagon, considered to be grain, and it's chayiv and Trumas HaMaisers. Now the first thing one is meant to separate the Truma Gedoyla, which goes to the Kohen. Then comes Ma'aser Rishon, a tenth, which goes to the Levi. Now the Levi himself has an obligation to remove a tenth of that which is given to him, a tenth of that Ma'aser Rishon. He removes a tenth, separates Trumas Ma'aser, it's called, and gives that to the Kohen. So the Gemara here at this point figures, we're speaking about perfectly edible Ma'aser Rishon, in which everything was done properly. First the Truma Gedoyla was taken off from the grain, given to the Kohen, then came the Ma'aser Rishon, given to the Levi, and then the Levi took from that Ma'aser Rishon and separated for the Kohen. Says the Gemara, if so, it's Pashat, that it's not mukta, pshita. Lo Yitzricha, apparently we're speaking about Shekdimi B'Shibom. Something went wrong. The Yisro was Makdim. He proceeded. He began by separating the Ma'aser Rishon when the produce was still B'Shibom in its stalk form. In which case, there's no obligation yet. And there was no Chiv of Truma Gedoyla. So he had not yet separated Truma Gedoyla. But he went ahead and quickly gave something to the Levi. So Levi took his portion, which was given to him by the Yisrael, these stalks, and he removed the Trumas Maaser, a tenth of that, gave it to the Kohen. So that portion was separated from the Maaser Rishon, but there was never Truma Gedoyla separated from this Maaser Rishon. So this is a Maaser Rishon, which only has a partial Truma removed from it. The Trumas Maaser was done properly, but there was never Truma Gedoyla done because the Yisrael gave it to the Levi prior to the Truma Gedoyla ever having been separated from the crop. Nevertheless, it's edible, it's mutter. And that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiyo, the Omer Avo, like Avo said, Omer Shlokish, Nehmer Shlokish. Maaser Rishon, Shekdimu B'Shibon, Maaser Rishon, which the Yisrael preceded to separate it when it was still in stalk form, in which the Chiyo of Truma Gedoyla has not yet arrived, Patum et Shmegdoyla, one need not separate Shmegdoyla any longer from this Ma'aser Rishon. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'arameisim imenu. The Pasuk is speaking about the Ma'aser Rishon, which is given to the Levi, You must separate from it Trumas Hashem, Maser Min HaMaser, a tenth of that Maser, which goes to the Kohen. We learn from here, Maser Min HaMaser Martiluch. You must remove a tenth of that Maser Rishon to the Kohen. But no more, V'loy Truma Gedoyla, with Trumas Maser Min HaMaser. You don't need to, in addition to the Trumas Maser, remove also, separate the Truma Gedoyla. You don't need to do two things. You only need to separate the Trumas Maser. The Truma Gedoyla is not applicable in this case, since the Levi received it prior to the grain becoming obligated in Truma Gedoyla. Amalei Papal Abay, Iyachi, if this is the case, Afilu Ikdima Bikri Nami Lipater. Let's say the Yisrael separated the Maaser Rishon for the Levi, but not when it was in stalk form. When it was already Bikri, it was already piled in a pile, and it was threshed properly, piled up, smoothed out, in which case there was a Chiva Truma Gedoyla. Let's say he ignored the Truma Gedoyla, which is meant to take off first. He ignored that. He separated the Maaser Rishon, gave it to the Levi. Perhaps, even in this case, the Levi should be exempt from Truma Gedoyla because of this pasuk. Says the Gemara, Yochi, Afilu Higdima Bekri Nami Lepater. There as well, he should be exempt from Truma Gedoyla. Amar Lei, so Abai responded, Olech Amakro, on you, the pasuk says, meaning to address this situation, the pasuk specifically obligates him. The pasuk says, Mikol Matnaisechem Tarimu. The Levi, from all your gifts, you need to lift, you need to separate. The Torah is saying, yes, he needs to go ahead and separate Truma Gedoyla, which has not yet been separated from his Maaser Rishon. Says Rav Papa back to Abaye, Umar Royce. How do you know? Meaning, there's one pasuk that exempts him, one pasuk that obligates him. How do you know what's what? Which one is going on the stalks? Which one's going on the pile of grain? Says Abai, very simple, high idgan, when he received his portion from the kri, which was already dogon, which already had a status of grain, then certainly he's high because the obligation of truma gedoyla was already present at that point. So you can't exempt himself from that. Therefore, it's logical to say that the pasuk that obligates him is speaking about such a specific case, where he received his portion, where the lady received his portion from finished grain. In this case, the Torah obligates him to complete and to go ahead and give the Truma Gedoyla, since it was already a chiv prior to him receiving his portion. However, in the earlier case of the Shibolim Bahai Lo Yidgan, it wasn't yet considered grain. It wasn't dogan. It was merely, they were merely stalks. At that point, there was no chiv of Truma Gedoyla present. So since he received his portion prior to the grain attaining the status of grain prior to the chiv of Truma Gedoyla having arrived at all. So since he preempted the system, he went ahead and he received his portion prior to that stage, the Torah says he's exempt from Truma Gedoyla. Continues the Gemara, Umaser Sheni, so you can move Maaser Sheni on Shabbos, Maaser Sheni or Hegdash, which were niftu redeemed. It's more pshita, it's obvious, why not? Lo Yitzricha, apparently we're speaking about Shanos and Zakaren. He provided the Karen, meaning the principal amount, to redeem. But he had not yet completed the chaimish, is the additional fifth, which he needs to add to complete the redemption process. The Mishnah is teaching us the additional chaimish does not hold back the pidyon from taking place, and therefore it's considered to be suitable and not muktzah. This dry bean, which is suitable for goats. Says more dafka yavish, specifically dry avalach, but if it's fresh, loy, you cannot move it, it's considered to be useless and mukta. My time of why? Even the murr, since this fresh turmeric is bitter, loy achla, the goat won't eat it. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We learned about one who needs to clear out for the guest that arrived for the learning of Torah. The Gemara discusses initiating maschilin ba'itzatchila, a storehouse which was not yet used before Shabbos. We have a discussion of whether or not it's mukta, contra of achra it's mukta, contra of shimon it's not mukta. Mor told us a pile of wheat, which has a total amount of 15 saw, that is also considered to be stored away, considered to be off limits, and considered to be mukta if it had not yet been used before Shabbos, according to the sheet that holds mukta. The Gemara told us that even a contra of chizda, who gives us a maximum of 5 baskets, which can be cleared, that's only with regard to one guest. But if he needs more, if more guests arrive and he needs more area, certainly he can clear as much as he needs. The Gemara tells us that when we speak about 4 or 5 baskets for the sake of one guest, He cannot be marbe behiluch. He can't decide to take smaller loads and make more shifts. He needs to carry that in four or five times, and that's it. The Gemara was uncertain regarding the large amount of guests which allow him to clear out a larger area. Can that be done? Can that job be done by one person? Or does it need to be done individually, each person for himself? The Gemara told us the greatness of Achnasas Erchem. It's either equal or even greater than Torah. It's greater than Kabbalah Sashchina. The Gemara told us specific mitzvahs earn a person double reward. In this world and in the next world, Kibbutz Avayim, Chesed, Shalom, Torah, he zeichet perisayim lemazeh, and concluded with three remarkable stories about judging others favorably, which the Gemara tells us a person zeichet, he merits, that likewise from Shemayim, they treat him and they put him in a positive light. They're done him, l'kav zchus.